We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff wraps up his message, Taking Ownership, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, challenging you to take hold of the good things God makes available to you and showing you how to do that. Now, here's today's program.
When Paul writes the book of Corinthians, which is, in my opinion, one of the most messed up churches either then or up until now, 2,000 some years later. Okay, you got a messed up church, right? You got a guy sleeping with his stepmom. You got all sorts of things going on. Here's how Paul addresses them. To all the saints in Corinth. Saints. Do you realize when you read the Bible, for those of us who believe, God doesn't refer to you as sinners, miserable, lousy, no good. How does he refer to you? You're saints. You're holy people. It's not based on your behavior. It's based on your identity. It's based on the fact that you're in the realm of Christ Jesus. I mean, turn to the person next to you that you came with today and call them saint, whatever their name is, right? I'm telling you, do it. It'll be uncomfortable for you. Look at your spouse and call them saint, whatever. It's hard, isn't it? Do you know why it's hard? Because we think it's humble to call ourselves by who we are. That's not humility, it's arrogant. It's humble to call ourselves by what God sees us as. God sees me as Saint Jeff. Now that's hard to say. I know myself, I live with myself, I watch my behavior. I know I am no saint according to the earth. But what God says to me, no, you're a saint. Now how does that play out? Can I just tell you with that one little identity thing, how that plays out? If I'm a saint and God's already pleased with me and God already loves me and he already accepts me and I'm already completely significant to him, it's different than if I view myself as a lousy, miserable, no good sinner. If I'm a lousy, miserable, no good sinner, then when I sin, here's what I do. I do one of two things. I begin to say, I always screw this up. I'm lousy, I'm miserable, I'm no good. I can never get this Christianity thing right. Every time I think I'm going to, I'm not going to. And here's how I'm going to pray. Lord, we're all lousy, we're all miserable, we're all sinners, it's horrible, we know it's bad. We know you're angry with us every single day, and every single day we come to you, I know you just got to be so sick and tired of me coming to you, but I'm coming to you because it's what I have to do, and boy, do I hate this, and it's miserable, and I'm trying to make everybody else around me feel as miserable as I am because I want them to know that you're upset with them. We own our misery. You ever been around Christians like that? It's miserable to be around Christians that think they're miserable, right? Now, other people, because of that, and they start feeling miserable, they don't want to feel miserable anymore. So instead of owning the misery of I'm such a bad person, here's what this group of people does. They blame somebody for why they're so miserable. Lord, I know I sin like this, but it's because of the mom and dad I had, and this is how they trained me. It's because of that coach I had, and this is what he said to me. It's because of this babysitter, and that's what they did to me when I was just a kid. Lord, it's because of these other people, and so, Lord, the reason I'm miserable, I wouldn't be except for these other people out there, and that's why I'm miserable. But see, if I'm a saint, and conviction comes, then I say this, Lord, I'm a saint, and I didn't live out my sainthood today. And Lord, this is how I fell short. But by faith, I believe I'm a saint. And by faith, I know I'm becoming a saint. And so Lord, help me to live out my saint-filled life. The best illustration I've ever heard, and you've heard it many times, is the idea of a difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly, right? I mean, a caterpillar is a crawly, wormy thing with legs that gets on a branch and forms a chrysalis. But when it comes out, it's something fundamentally different, right? It's a butterfly. It lives by different principles. If when the butterfly came out, the butterfly was, oh my gosh, look at these wings. They're so ostentatious. People are really going to be bothered by me. All my caterpillar friends, what are they going to say? And they went back with all their little caterpillar friends and started crawling around, wore a jacket over themselves and like, hey, what's up? I'm like, oh no, man, why is your back so big? No, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to live with you guys. I want to do it. right? It'd be a miserable butterfly life. And yet that's what so many of us do, because we're afraid to call ourselves by how God sees us. And see, God doesn't just call us saints. He calls us holy people. He calls us dearly loved. He calls us forgiven. He calls us children of his. He says that we're not only conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. I mean, all those things are true of us who are in Christ Jesus, who by faith have trusted in him. Now, can I just tell you something? Just because the word says it, and just because it's true, doesn't mean it's yours. The gospel says that Jesus Christ died for all sinners. It doesn't mean that all sinners are saved. Just because it's true that all sinners could be saved, something has to take place. A confession and a belief has to take place. The same is true for us as believers. Just because God says I'm holy, just because God says I'm loved, just because God says I'm significant, doesn't mean that I'm receiving that. Guess what I have to do? By faith, I have to confess it and believe it. So can I tell you what I would do as an exercise if I were you? I would begin reading through the word and calling myself what Jesus calls me. There's a great couple of books that came out probably 25 years ago by a guy named Dr. Neil T. Anderson. It was called The Bondage Breaker and Victory Over the Darkness. And he has a little section in there of who I am in Christ. And I remember when I was young in my walk, I remember walking through these things. You know how John 1:12 says, I'm a child of God. John 15 says, I'm Christ's friend. Some of you just need to meditate on that. I mean, meditate, reflect, study, think about you are Jesus Christ's friend. Jesus would call you his friend. You need to confess that you're his friend, and you need to confess that you believe you're his friend. I'm a saint. I'm complete in Christ. I'm forever free from condemnation. I'm hidden with Christ in God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm the salt and light of the earth. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I remember going through all these and just meditating on them, thinking about them, confessing them until I got to a place where I believed them. Can I tell you what started to change in my Christian life? I went from a victim mentality to a victor mentality. I went from feeling like I screw this thing up all the time. And every time I leave a conference, I think I'm going to be like, today's the day. I'm going to go do it for Jesus. And then I would fall again. And I would fall again. But you know what began to happen? The more I began to say, no, Jesus, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. And I remember a time in my life after doing this, where I was met by Jesus on a morning where I woke up, just confessing my sin again for the umpteenth time, like, Lord, I can't believe I let you down again. And I was crying about it. And the Lord said, hey, 6 months ago, you wouldn't even have felt any shame. I'm growing you. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So who's welcome to come into church? Everybody. Sinners welcome. Who's church for? It's for those who want to place their faith and trust in Christ, who believe. Let me ask you this. This is a participation with the pastor moment. Is it only for people that have it all together who are doing this? No. Somebody said, Lord, no. Thank you. Heck no. Because I don't have it all together yet. I'm growing in my identity, right? I'm still growing in my identity. But the more I own my identity of who Jesus says I am, the freer I feel. Because now when I sin, I'm not like, oh, I'm miserable, I'm horrible, I'm bad, I'm no good, I've failed again. No, I'm a saint that didn't live up to my sainthood, and I confess my sin to Jesus because I want to live out what I am as a saint. It's a totally different thing. I'm not wondering, am I going to heaven anymore? I'm not wondering if God still loves me anymore. I'm not wondering if I should still pastor anymore. I am who I am because of who I am in Christ. Here's what I'm doing. I don't want to live in sin anymore because sin's what kills. That's why in Romans 6, when Paul asks the question, what should we say? Should we go on sinning so grace will increase all the more? Do you know the more you sin, the more God gives grace? And so Paul's like, should we just keep sinning so we get more grace? He's like, may it never be. Heck no. If sin's what kills you, why would you want to stay in sin? You don't have to continue to live in sin. You have a new identity. If you will own your identity, and the reason I'm kind of pausing here today and taking a little extra time is because I can tell you this about your identity. I know it's true about your identity, but until you take this home and say, Lord, I confess that I am that. I confess that you love me. I'm believing that you love me, even though I don't even feel like it. I'm believing it, and I'm going to keep confessing it and believing it until I experience it emotionally. And emotions always follow truth. You may not even feel like it when you say it. As a matter of fact, it may feel odd and weird to say, I'm a saint. It may feel weird, but if you'll start confessing it and believing it, over time, you'll own what Jesus says that you are. And when you believe what he says about you, you will begin to accelerate in your faith. Now, can I tell you something about this? Because most of us, when it comes to this, it's kind of like what we think about eating healthy and working out. Pastor Jeff, that's really good. On Monday, I think I'll start that. Maybe next week I'll start. Maybe next month I'll as soon as we finish up this thing in our lives, maybe in my next relationship I'll start that. Maybe in my next job I'll start that. Maybe when we get our new house I'll start that. Listen, a testimony, when you think about your testimony is what Christ is doing on the inside of you. A testimony is not what you've done. So a testimony is not, hey, I've lived this really, really, really bad life, and now I'm living a really, really good life. That's your story. That's not your test. Your testimony is, where is God at work in your life, right? And here's the beautiful thing. God wants to meet you when? Now, presently, in this place, saying, I know, but last night, here's how I screwed it up again. Jesus would say, I know, I was there. I was part of it. You brought me along because I'm in you and you're in me. And I still love you. I haven't stopped my love. Well, how can I know that's true? Because I demonstrated my love for you when I died on the cross and rose from the dead. I haven't changed my love. My love is not dependent upon your behaviors. My love is based upon my faithfulness of who I say that I am. It's a glorious thought, folks. For those of you that will take this home and start reading the Bible and taking ownership of who you are in Christ and say, you know what? If the Bible says this about Jesus, it's true about me. If Jesus is righteous, then I'm declared righteous. If Jesus is holy, then I'm holy. Jesus is a saint, then I'm a saint. You start to meditate on that and confess it. If Jesus is crowned with glory and honor, I'm crowned with glory and honor. Now you can look at me and say, Jeff, I know you. You're not crowned with glory and honor. Jesus says that I am in Psalm 8:5. Right? Because of who I am in Christ, in the realm of Christ. I'm not any of those things on my own. I'm those because of who I am in Christ. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Taking Ownership, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, showing you how you can take hold of the good things God has made available to you through the gospel. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
I'm those because of who I am in Christ. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Take verses, meditate on them, confess them. That's why Jesus, when he went to the cross in John 13, it says he knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. So he got down and washed his disciples' feet. Why? Because he had his whole identity. I already know I'm the king of the universe. Even though nobody on planet Earth believes me, I know that I am. I know that I'm loved by my Father. I can get down and do the slavest job in the world because I know who I am. It's no big deal. That's what I do. I can humble myself and die on a cross because that's what I do. Even when the devil came after him in Matthew chapter 4, people will be like, oh, well, he used the word of God to defeat him. How did he know the word of God? Because he knew his identity. So when Satan was telling him to do stuff and then I'll bow down and worship you, Jesus is like, well, that's kind of silly since I'm already God and you already bow down and worship me. Why would I give into that? I already know who I am. The more you know who you are, the more Satan's lies will become apparent to you. The less you know who you are, the more Satan can beat you up. Because here's the truth. Satan knows the gospel. He knows the moment you've trusted in Jesus Christ, he's lost you for all eternity. And since he's lost you for all eternity and he can't have you in hell for all eternity, not even for one second, you know what he spends his life doing? Lying to you to get you to believe that maybe you're not going to spend time in God. Lying to you to get you to believe that maybe God doesn't love you anymore. Lying to get you to believe that maybe you won't walk this Christianity thing out right. Why? Because if he can have you in the now living miserable, even if he doesn't get you for all eternity, he can stop your witness. He can stop your joy. If Satan were a cartoon superhero, the only power he truly has is his mouth. And he's a liar. That's all he can do. He's not going to touch you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't need to fear him. We'll talk about that next week. But are you getting this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's presently no condemnation for you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, here's the second point. It'll be a little shorter and we'll build on it next week. Believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ are no longer obligated to sin nor troubled by death. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're no longer obligated to sin. Do you know you don't have to sin anymore? It doesn't mean that you won't, The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but it means you don't have to. And death no longer has mastery over you. You don't need to be troubled by it. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. There we see the same thing in the realm of Christ from the law of sin and death. The reason that you're going to die, okay, is you've caught a virus and it's called sin and it kills everybody. It's the reason that the death rate has never changed. It's always one per person. And you'll prove that theory true over time if Jesus doesn't come back. Everybody dies. For the wages of what? Sin is death. Okay? So what happens? What happens when we trust in Christ? Here's what happens. There's three things going on in the world. There's the devil who lies to us, who hates everything about Jesus, and therefore he hates us. There's our world system, which says, hey, live totally for yourself. And then there's our flesh. There's our body, and our flesh is sinful. And so before we trust Christ, all three of those things work together as an unholy trinity to live totally for us. Okay? Then when we trust in Christ, the Bible says we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer where you live. Our flesh dies. It's dead. And we've been elevated with a new life in Christ. So our flesh no longer has to submit to the devil or the world. That's where the fight begins. Because what God is saying is, you don't need to listen to the devil and the world anymore. You can listen to me. And if you love me and love other people, I'll take care of you. And the devil says, God doesn't love you. Time is short. Live for yourself. The world says live for yourself. And our flesh, we have to make a decision. Am I going to trust Christ or trust what I want to do? And the more and more I know my identity, the more and more my flesh becomes a slave to the spirit that lives in me, which is what we're going to talk about next week in great detail. But I no longer have to sin. I'm not doomed to sin. I have power over temptation. I have power over the devil. I have power over my bad choices. And when I choose to sin, it's my choice. I'm not a victim. I'm choosing to do that. If I'm depressed, if I'm miserable, if I'm lousy, if I'm a liar, if I'm a cheater, if I'm all those things, there's part of me that's choosing an identity different than what God says about who I am. And we'll go into great detail next week defining that. But know this, if sin doesn't have power over you, guess what else? Death doesn't have power over you. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Why? Because the Bible says to be apart from the body is to be with Christ. I mean, the moment that you trust Christ, if you're a believer, you'll be in his presence. You'll be with him, right? I mean, you'll be there. I told our church last night, because it just kind of came to me. I mean, if I was in a tragic accident and I was in the hospital and, you know, my wife was trying to decide, do I pull the plug or not? I'm like, pull the plug. Don't pray me out of heaven. That's the goal of my faith, right? I want to be with Jesus. Now, I sometimes worry about how I'm going to die. I've told you that before. I hope it's just kind of pleasant, like laying back, watching the Cubs win the World Series in like 2063 or something like that, and just kind of go off to Never Never Land. I mean, it's great. I don't know how, but I know this. The moment that I die, you don't need to worry about me, because I know that at that moment, Jesus is presenting me before his Father with great joy, and both Jesus and I are going to be rejoicing together, and that's the goal of my faith, right? Sin doesn't have mastery over me now any more than it will in the future kingdom unless I allow it in my sin-stained flesh. Here's the problem. My flesh doesn't go away. Oh, I wish my flesh went away. I wish it was more than crucified. I wish it was just gone. And then everything I would do was perfect. Jesus, we'll see, was given a flesh like ours, but his was sinless. That's why he had to be born of the Virgin Mary. He couldn't have parents that contributed to him, or he would have had sinful flesh like ours that would have been attracted to and swimming in sin. Jesus didn't have that, right? He had the likeness of our flesh, but he didn't have sinful flesh. We have sinful flesh, and oh, how I wish it went away. I wish when we became Christians, we were just like, oh, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore, because now I just live for God all the time. My flesh screams at me. I want to go back. I want to go back and live the way we used to live. You know what I'm talking about. You hear a message and you know God's convicting you about something. It can be anything. It can be illicit sex. It can be drugs. It can be food. It can be anger. It can be any number of things. And you're like, I know I got to change. I know I got to change. Man, God's just speaking to me. The Spirit is so fired up in me. This is what I'm going to do. And you go and you do that. And all of a sudden the devil starts whispering and shouting. And all of a sudden the world starts calling you. And about a day later, you feel miserable and you go back. Remember Israel? They cried out to the Lord for 400 years. I'm 45. I mean, that's over eight times as long as I've been alive. They've been crying out for generations. They get delivered in the most miraculous way. 10 plagues, killing the firstborn of all of of Egypt. Getting to the Red Sea where they can't part, God parts it for them, closes in, destroys the largest army of the world. I mean, you talk about miraculous deliverance, like 400 years and God's doing it. He's awesome. He's so powerful. You know what they were doing 3 days later? Man, I wish we were back in Egypt. I mean, there were leeks and garlics. It was the good life back there. They hated it. Why couldn't they move forward? They were 10 days away from the promised land and they wanted to go back because their flesh said, hey, remember how good it was? You ever had that experience? You're dating somebody, you know you need to break up with them and you break up with them and 3 days later it's like, what was I thinking? That was so awesome. No, it wasn't. It was horrible. But your flesh is like, let's go back. Or you got a drinking problem and you know you need to stop and you're like, oh, I know I need to. 3 days later, you're like, I got to drink again. Or you got this anger issue, like, I got to stop getting angry all the time. And 3 days later, you're like, forget that because nobody does things the way I want. And then anger's back out. Right. Why? Because we always want to go back rather than going forward with Jesus, but you don't have to. And next week, what we're going to spend a lot of time on is talking about how do we work that out? Like, how do we do that? Because here's what our church is full of. It's full of a group of people that love Jesus, that want to work it out, but don't always know how to work it out. And the rest of this chapter is here's how you work it out. Here's how you can do that. Because there's power over anger. Did you know that? There's power over illicit sex. Did you know that? There's power over drugs and alcohol. Did you know that? There's power over food. I mean, there's nothing that you struggle with that's not common. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, nothing has seized you except what is common to man. It means whatever your temptation and whatever your vice, you're not special enough for Satan to devise his own unique strategy for you. So if you stood up and said, I struggle with this, and I know I'm the only one in the world, there'd be 30 other people in here like, you think you are? I'm one of those 30. I struggle with the same thing. So then how do we work it? So I wanted to lay the foundation this week and tell you that you can take ownership of the fact of this. You have a new identity. God's not condemning you. He's not, if you've trusted in Christ, he's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He wants to grow you. So take identity that he loves you and you're his chosen, you're blessed, and confess that and pray through it. And secondly, start taking ownership of this fact, that because you're in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer bound in chains where, well, I have to sin because that's what we do, Christians, we sin. You don't have to. You can choose to, but you don't have to. And this is what Christ would want for your life. And next week, what we'll take a look at is, okay, I've laid the foundation. I believe it. I've been confessing the fact that I am who I am in Christ, and I've been believing that I no longer need to do it. Now, Pastor Jeff, show me how. And that's what we're going to take a look at next week at the through the end of this chapter, or through the part of this chapter, is how do we do that? And how do we seek his face? And how do we get set free? Because I'm telling you, as exciting as it was to come to Christ, do you remember that moment you came to Christ? Remember when it was? Remember the chains that fell off and you're like, I'm free, I'm free. Do you know those chains still fall off as you continue to walk with Christ? And it's just as glorious as a believer when chains that have bound you for so long that you didn't even realize were there fall off and fall off and fall off. Do you know why? Because there's nobody here when they come to Christ that from that moment on is the perfect husband and the perfect wife and the perfect parent and runs the perfect job in the perfect way and always says the perfect things at the perfect time with the perfect people that they hang out. There's no such thing. You know it's not true in your life. It's not true in anybody else's life. So then what's the purpose of coming to church if I already believe the gospel? Because I need to be believing in the gospel. Am I saved? Yes. Am I being saved? Yes. Will I be saved? Yes. In the present time, what's God doing as he's redeeming my life? God wants to set me free today. Guess what? God wants to set you free today. Can I just tell you something, church? There is therefore now no condemnation now. Presently in this place for those of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can you own that? Pastor Jeff, I'm hearing it. I'm having a hard time believing it. Well, then believe it. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm believing it by faith that that's what you have for me, even though I don't see it yet, but I'm going to believe it and I'm going to keep confessing it. I'm going to keep believing it that you love me and you have purpose for me. You think I'm significant. You think I'm special. Because if Jesus showed up in here in all his glory, for those of you who have trusted in him, he would be smiling at you, loving you, placing his hands on you, telling you how special you are, how lovely you are, how proud of you he is. And you would say, yeah, but, just like the younger son in the prodigal son story. Yeah, but I've wasted this and yeah, but I do. Quick, let's celebrate because I love you. I love you. I love you. Isn't that an awesome, glorious thought? God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. And Lord, we sing to you and we celebrate you and we praise your holy name, the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Taking Ownership, from the series, The Power of the Gospel, encouraging you to take hold of the good things God has made available to you through the gospel. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.